The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 7:30 a.m. August 11th, 2017. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show. Thank you for listening to K Voice of Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of Resistance. I'm your host, Kelly the Voice. Welcome to the Resistance. 20th century inventor R. Buckminster Fuller said, quote, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." Unquote. The resistance is not only resisting the present, it's about creating the future. In a very real way, I believe America is being born. One thing's for sure, though. If I'm right, it ain't a pretty birth. All right, guys. I have good news. The Democrats won a special election. I know. We were thinking it wasn't going to happen, but it did. And not just any special election, an Iowa race. Iowa House district race in a Trump district. And I mean Trump district. Phil Miller of Fairfield comfortably defeated Republican farmer Travis Harris of Davis County, 4,021 to 3,024. That's about 55 to 45% difference. That means Democrats will hold on to a key rural swing district that Donald won in November by 22 points. This special election was being viewed as an important test as to whether local Democratic candidates could still win in Trump-leaning areas of the state. This Miller guy is about as an ideal of candidate as you could hope for. He is a well-known community leader who locals trusted him from his work as a large and small animal veterinarian. And here's the thing. Here's why this election was even more important than just the state house seat, and even more important than the simple morale booster. Republicans, like they do, ran an intensely negative campaign on TV, attacking Miller for his vote on the Fairfield School Board to keep a policy on transgender bathrooms in place. The ordeal was a huge local controversy that divided the Fairfield community for most of 2016. And in a profoundly cruel, insensitive, and increasingly typically conservative move, just a month after a transgender 13-year-old suicide in Fairfield, the Republican Party of Iowa and candidate Travis Harris ran attack ads on transgender bathrooms, reigniting the bitter controversy that divided the community last year. Despite our president's
lame brain
success with, to put it nicely, running on cultural issues, the Republican Party has somewhat been shying away from targeting LGBTQ issues like transgender bathrooms in their advertising in the past. Many LGBTQ advocates worried that had the Republican candidate been successful, it would have given the GOP incentive to push for anti-transgender policies in the State House next session and run on that issue in 2018. Instead, many Republican political consultants and party leaders may now second-guess whether that's a winning issue to run on or not. Seriously, guys. Running anti-transgender ads a week after a 13-year-old kid's suicide? I have no respect for these people. None. Anyways, I'm willing to go a bit further and fantasize about this further idea, too. Maybe the fantaranta that is our senile president really is not much more than an anomaly. Maybe normal people, in the same way that they cannot get away with a fraction of the insidious things that he has, then maybe they can't win by being a fraction as horrible as he is. Maybe the sick man will be a one-off. Well, this specific brand of sick man will be a one-off. And maybe in 2018, we will tear the red curtain down and paint America blue. Maybe. Just maybe.
Thank you, dear God, for the gift of Andrew Breitbart.
All right, in the interest of staying informed on what the House and the Senate will be voting on when they return from their long, long, long vacation, let's talk bills. In case any of us want to make our own preemptive strike and call our representatives to let them know whether to advance or stop a bill as it comes up later. Remember, when you call your representative on their phone, their people write down what you are calling about. They give their boss, your representative, a list and say four people called that day to tell them to say, vote no on Louis Gohmert Saves Act. And that is more than the two jerks that said vote yes on the Saves Act. Then your representative, if they are worth their job, has a greater chance of voting no on Louis Gohmert's Saves Act. So, our bill, H.R. 2063, the Saves Act. If you haven't already guessed, Louis Gohmert, Republican from Texas, has put together this little act, otherwise known as the To Amend the Endangered Species Act of 1973 to provide that non-native species in the United States shall not be treated as endangered species or threatened species for purposes of that act. Period. This bill would delist all non-native species from the Endangered Species Act, meaning that animals which don't naturally have a habitat in the U.S. wouldn't be considered endangered or threatened. By doing so, the requirement that individuals buying or selling non-native species across state lines, like zoos or private breeders, could obtain a permit through the Fish and Wildlife Service. For captive-bred wildlife would be eliminated. Oh, screw you, Louis Gohmert, you old bat. You aren't fooling anyone. This has nothing to do with helping out zoos and breeding. It is just so you can kick animals off the list. And for what? For what, Louis? An endangered species is threatened by extinction regardless of its location. It doesn't magically become plentiful because you moved it from Africa to America, you jackass. If you don't know, or if you guys aren't familiar with the charming Louis, allow me to introduce you.
This administration has so many Muslim Brotherhood members that have influence that they just are making wrong decisions for America.
If you're oriented toward animals, bestiality, then, you know, that's not something that could be held against you, or any bias be held against you for that, which means you'd have to strike any laws against bestiality. If you're oriented toward corpses, toward children, you know, there are all kinds of perversions, what most of us would call perversions. Some would say, it sounds like,
I had one guy that was particularly out of line, and I warned him three times, and then we duct taped his head, and we didn't hear from him until it was his turn to talk.
That's when you were a judge?
That was when I was a judge, a felony court.
Well, that didn't go in your courtroom.
Well, you just had to, gave him three warnings, made the record, and then wrapped him up. We know Al-Qaeda has camps over with the drug cartels on the other side of the Mexican border. We know that people are now being trained to come in and act like Hispanic when they're radical Islamists.
You follow me around the world. You see me hugging Muslims around the world.
I'm not going to debate the merits of whether we should or should not have gone to Vietnam. But what I will tell you is Vietnam was winnable. But people in Washington decided we would not win it.
The gentleman is the chairman. Aspersions on my asparagus.
He's a charming fellow, isn't he? And he's really smart. You should hear him talk about science. This legislation is still in committee and has the support of 21 co-sponsors in the House, including 20 Republicans and one Democrat. What the hell is that about? So it seems there is some traction here, but we'll have to see. Call your rep if you have any feelings about this legislation. Our infant president with his flamboyant rantings is dangerously escalating a situation with a madman who is also an irrational child. You know what I'm talking about. The escalating tensions with North Korea have taken a sudden and dangerous turn, with the Washington Post reporting the isolated country has successfully produced a miniaturized nuclear warhead that will fit inside a ballistic missile. Our president responded to the report rationally and calmly, with decorum and... No, he didn't! Our president responded to the report with more drama than my nephew's acting out Star Wars, stating that North Korea will be met with fire and fury if they dare make any threats against the United States. Roar! And then, surprise, surprise, a few short hours later, North Korea responded with threat of missile strikes on Guam, a U.S. territory in the Western Pacific Ocean, where Anderson Air Force Base is located, and home to about 7,000 U.S. soldiers, and their families live on the island there with them, which has a diverse population of about 160,000 people. And fun fact, Guam was the first U.S. territory to recognize same-sex marriage.
They will be met with fire, fury, and...
Bombs and attacks are not the answer to every damn global crisis, Donald. His full self is gonna stumble and push us into another nuclear war and risk innocent lives in the process. There is one thing we should do.
Fire.
Not him, not you, Donald. Sit down. There's one thing our government should do. Donald needs to be locked in a playroom with his fake phone and Fox and Friends while the adults explore diplomacy and non-military options. As a co-equal branch of government, it is an important check on the president's power. Congress must be consulted before any further actions take place that endanger the lives of Americans. Or anyone, for that matter. Trump should follow the same procedure as all other U.S. presidents and seek the approval of Congress before any military action takes place anywhere. Call your representatives. Call. They are on break right now, so you have a better option than just calling. Check out townhallproject.com. See if your rep is having a town hall near you. It is the perfect opportunity to make your voice heard. And they're really fun. So last episode, I mentioned that experts in authoritarianism advise us to keep a list of 10 things every week to keep track of everything that's not normal, everything that's changing around us. So I put together 14 things that went on last week that we may have missed in the fire and fury that is Hurricane Donald.
Like the world has never seen.
Yes, we know, Donald. One, amateur hackers at the DEF CON conference in Las Vegas were able to exploit vulnerabilities in 5 voting machine types within 24 hours, and some of them in just under 2. 2, 6 months after leaving office, Pence handed over state-related emails. Emails transmitted from his personal AOL account. Some requests for emails are over a year old.
You suck!
3. A spokesperson for Scott Polluter Pruitt's EPA told WAPO the agency will make changes to the EPA museum. For example, the exhibit on Obama's clean power plan will be removed and coal may be added. 4. CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, your one-stop shop for Christian news, reported nearly all of Trump's cabinet officials attended Bible lessons with a pastor who compares Trump to biblical heroes. 5. In a statement released Tuesday, 56 retired generals and admirals came out against the transgender military ban, arguing it would be disruptive and degrade military readiness. 6. Secretary of the Interior and man who said he missed the heyday of clubbing SEALs, Ryan Zinke, told GQ in an interview that Rick Perry didn't understand what his position is about. Quote, I think he thought this department was more about energy than science. It's mostly science. Unquote. 7. The NAACP issued its first travel advisory for a state. The NAACP cited Missouri legislation for making discrimination cases harder to win, recent racist incidents, and racial disparities in traffic enforcement. 8. Chris Kobach, the voter suppression extraordinaire, appealed an order requiring him to answer questions under oath about 2 documents containing plans for changes to U.S. election law. 9. WAPO reported Lizardo Carlos Saviera, a standout soccer player who had a scholarship to play college soccer, was deported to El Salvador along with his brother after going to ICE to report that he got into college. 10. Documents released to the Daily Beast under FOIA show high-level DHS officials ordered staff to stiff-arm members of Congress and treat lawyers with deep suspicion in the first few hours of Trump's Muslim ban at airports. 11. The WAPO reported Russian Medal of Friendship winner and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson's State Department is considering eliminating the promotion of democracy from its mission statement. 12. On a Fox News interview, Kellyanne Conartist advised White House staffers not to address Trump by his first name and to treat him with deference and humility. 13. WAPO reported lobbyists are taking credit in the Trump era for writing bills to protect their industry and are passed in Congress with minimal input from the public and little or no discussion in Congress. And 14. The Wall Street Journal reported that the U.S. attorney issued subpoenas to Kushner Co.'s employees, and Kushner family members have allegedly been offering green cards in exchange for $500,000 investments in their properties.
I'm in love with Lady Haiti.
I was lucky. My family was not an extravagant family. My parents chose to spend what extra money they had on vacations for my brother and I, and not the kind of vacations with cruises and shopping. They were the kind of this-is-the-world vacations. When I was in college, my dad took me to Haiti. It was amazing. Hands down, best vacation I've had. I had been to third worlds before, Panama, Honduras, the Dominican Republic, but nothing had prepared me for Haiti. My dad loves Haiti. He has been there many times. He always met with the same taxi driver. Faubert was his name. We talked politics. He was not the only one who wanted to talk politics. American politics matter more to people in foreign countries than in our own country sometimes. I was struck by the devastating abject poverty. The streets, such as they were, lined with sheets hung up as houses and children bathing in buckets in the heat. Kids follow you with hands out everywhere. The moment that struck me the most was standing on the balcony of our hotel, looking out down the hill where countless families crammed in structures half standing beneath me. Hundreds of thousands of people living their evening lives in front of me, and I could see nothing but darkness. Candle flickers were here and there, but other than that, nothing. We are used to so much visual noise, such input and constant proof of life. The trip was amazing. The people fantastic. The experience was as grounding as you can imagine. That was before the 2004 Tropical Storm Gian that killed 1,900 people, leaving 200,000 homeless. That was before Tropical Storm Noel, triggering more mudslides and floods. And that was before the hurricanes and Tropical Storm killed 800 in Haiti, devastating crops totaling $1 billion in damage. And of course, that was before the 2010 magnitude 7 quake that leveled buildings in Port-au-Prince and killing more than 300,000 people, before the cholera epidemic. And then, of course, there was Hurricane Matthew in 2016 that killed nearly 600 people and left more than 35,000 homeless. In 1990, Congress passed a program called the TPS program, or Temporary Protected Status Program, which gives temporary protection for immigrants who are unable to return to their home countries because of war, natural disasters, and other extraordinary circumstances. The designation grants beneficiaries ability to legally work in the United States and apply for travel authorization abroad. The status itself is not permanent, and it can be revoked at any time. And it can be revoked any time that DHS determines conditions are safe enough to return. This program, in one of the most wealthy countries in the world, in the shining city on the hill, this program that takes people and gives them a safe place to live and flourish until their own country gets back on its feet, is there a more ideally American program? I mean, American in the most romantic sense of the word, American. The America that is worthy of the songs. There are currently 58,706 Haitian beneficiaries of the Temporary Protection Status Program, according to government statistics, all of whom were granted the status after the 2010 quake. In May, immigration officials started making inquiries to try to find Haitians who had committed crimes or who had received benefits illegally. Marlene Brasteen serves as not only the voice of the Haitian women, but also as the unofficial spokesperson for the Haitian community at large. She said that there were thousands of families in Little Haiti who, instead of celebrating the festival of music, culture, and traditions of the impoverished Caribbean nation, were focused on whether Donald would renew or abolish the Temporary Protected Status, TPS, when the program expired in July. Quote, "There's a lot of fear and anxiety. They came to here to try to build a life and keep their family safe, and now after so many years, they have to contemplate being separated from their family members and going back to a nation in turmoil. They have children in school, students in college, they have businesses, they have bought homes, they pay taxes and contribute to the economy here and in Haiti by sending money home. Now they are worrying about the choices that they'll have to make. A man walked into my office the other day. He became a nurse after the earthquake. He works at one of the major hospitals in town and has two little girls flourishing in our public schools. He was in tears and he told me that he may have to pull them from everything they know and take them to Haiti. You're talking about thousands and thousands of U.S.-born children with parents facing the heart-wrenching decision of being separated from their loved ones or leaving their children behind to give them a better life." Unquote.
In your election, you once said that you wanted to make America great again. But the only way to make America great again is by letting my people stay. And my people are Haitians, Salvadorans, Hondurans, and Nicaraguans, and so on so far. But...
That it was Vanessa Joseph pleading for her family. In May, the sadists that are now in charge of our government threatened to pull the plug on the long-standing humanitarian program, potentially exposing the 58,000 Haitians to deportation. Then Homeland Security Secretary and man who thinks he laughed once, John Kelly, eventually, in his infinite generosity, allowed for a 6-month extension to the TPS program so they had time to pack their bags and put their affairs in order before they were forced out. It's not just Haitians, of course, who are under the TPS program. An estimated 340,000 people currently hold TPS status, with more that were expected to be added from the massive typhoon that hit the Philippines last November and the ongoing civil war in Syria. Recent global events demonstrate that natural disasters and political strife occur suddenly and often without warning. As the world adjusts to climate change, scientists predict that the number of severe weather events such as floods, droughts, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires will only increase, forcing more people to migrate, as confirmed by our own governmental report last week. According to the Migration Policy Institute, in 2012 alone, an estimated 29 million people were displaced by extreme weather events. Currently, there are approximately 340,000 TPS holders. This figure does not include an estimated 9,000 Syrians who are soon to become eligible to apply, nor the additional 4,000 Sudanese or South Sudanese. Of the 340,000 TPS holders, there are approximately 2 million American-born children. These families will either be torn apart or face being taken back to impoverished, disaster-ridden, and war-torn countries. And these conservatives call themselves the party of family values. Well, I love Canada. I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. Okay, I've never been to Canada, but I love what Canada seems to stand for. Canada is taking them in. Montreal began busing asylum seekers to the site of their latest welcome center, Montreal's Olympic Stadium, a 56,000-seat arena normally used for sporting events, rock concerts, and trade shows. Over 4,000 people, including children, the elderly, and pregnant women, have crossed into Canada, and typical Canadian form is welcoming them with open arms, I'm happy to say. The mayor of Montreal, Denis Cordier, welcomed the immigrants in French and Haitian Creole and wrote on Twitter, quote, The city of Montreal welcomes Haitian refugees. You can count on our full cooperation, unquote.
Et on a vu depuis deux semaines une augmentation du nombre de personnes qui rentraient.
Quebec Immigration Minister Kathleen Wheel confirmed Wednesday afternoon that Haitians make up about 70% of the recent asylum seekers. She says the influx is not unprecedented, and Quebec is working hand in glove with the federal government to process asylum seekers in a timely manner. She said, quote, "We can handle it. There's not one ministry that is concerned about that. The federal government is not concerned about it. We have seen volumes like this in the past," unquote.
Oh, Canada.
It breaks my heart that America cannot be there for these people. But at least some places in the world have not gone mad. Thank you, Canada. It's good to know that you are there. All right, I need to go, but before I do, I had a gentleman named Joseph LeBurge tell me on my podcast that, quote, "Your type of resistance is so anti-American it makes me ill. Instead of helping our president with contrary opinions, you are actively subverting everything he is doing. Change your name to Voice of Communism." Unquote. Well, Joseph LeBurge, what I am doing is chiefly American. I'd much rather follow the advice of Elie Wiesel, Romania-born Holocaust survivor and Nobel Peace Prize winner. Quote, "We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented." Unquote. And one more thing, Joseph LeBurge. Look up communism. I think you're confused. All right. That's about all my time. If you could, it would help me out if you could like my Facebook page. I have lots of listeners, but my social media is, well, getting better, still suffering. Help me out so I can drive more traffic and help grow the show. Thank you for listening. You can find my show on crabdiving.com. That's one word, crabdiving.com, under the K-Voice tab. Or you can download my show as a podcast, wherever it is you get your podcast. You can get your news 5 days a week from 2 to 4, streaming live on the network with Patrick Vile and Ryan Pfeiffer. It's a nice way to filter your news through some funny, angry liberals. You can also find my show on Citizen Truth at citizentruth.org. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice, and of course on Facebook at K Voice of Resistance. Okay, take care of yourselves out there, and as always, resist. To lead us out, Elie Wiesel.
You, with your moral vision of history, will be able and compelled to change this world into a better place, where people will stop waging war. Every war is absurd and meaningless. Where people will stop hating one another. Where people will hate the otherness of the other rather than respect it. But the world hasn't learned. When I was liberated in 1945, April 11, by the American army, somehow many of us were convinced that at least one lesson will have been learned, that never again will there be war, that hatred is not an option, that racism is stupid, and the will to conquer other people's minds or territories or aspirations, that will is meaningless. Although we had the right to give up on humanity, to give up on culture, to give up on education, to give up on the possibility of living one's life with dignity in a world that has no place for dignity. Will the world ever learn?